Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I go to the Friday Night Football game for where my daughter marches every single Friday. I was told her team is favored by 46 points tonight. I don't know if that's true or not, because I never know whether the sharps are real or not, or whether it's a bit, but so we're back on blowout train here.
I just like that you get lines every single week. It's a cool thing about Ohio high school football. That you just get the lines, you get the gamblers are really invested in high school football in the area, and for that, I appreciate you.
I mean, I went to Woodridge, not our best moment in football. Ness went to Rootstown, not their best moment. So to go and live in a place where every week it's like, are we going to win by 40 this week? Is the game going to be over by the time I get there, around the halftime?
You guys
halftime?
Basically fell into being Yankees fans. How about that? How does that feel?
Actually, I get to stake my claim. Because I grew up in this town until sixth grade, feel like I'm not, it's not like, you know, oh, I live in Idaho and I'm a Yankees fan.
So you would have gone to this high school,
yes,
then? If you had not moved, you would have gone to this high school.
Correctamundo.
Yeah, but you didn't go to this high school, though. So you're basically a Yankees fan.
But I went to school there more than I did anywhere else.
You went to grade school.
You saying that makes me not a Grizzly?
Yes.
Screw you.
What high school did you go to again?
Woodridge. I've only said it 150 times.
What was your mascot?
A bulldog.
Then you're a bulldog.
I'm a grizzly bulldog.
You're not a grizzly.
I'm a grizzly bulldog.
You're a bulldog.
I'm like, if you mated a bulldog,
you're a bulldog
with a grizzly, and then had the size of a grizzly, and then the temperament of a bulldog.
Oh, you bulldog, you. You're a bulldog. Classic bulldog.
You're bull something.
To think you're a grizzly.
I'll tell you that right now.
You're a bulldog in a Timu grizzly bear outfit.
Mac, I like it.
I just think you're when JP
that was funny. Come
when,
on, that was
when
funny.
JP fake laughs.
No, that was funny
because he's trying to divide Mac and I.
That was
I
a
don't
funny
give into
one.
It.
That was a good one.
He didn't stick the landing.
What do you mean he didn't stick the landing?
He double pumped
against
the joke.
You on the joke itself.
He double pumped on the joke.
No,
you're
no,
the
no.
Timu version.
No,
that's not
no,
a
no. Yep. Wow. Wow, makes fun of your speech now, too. This is quite the turn between you two,
now
I gotta
curses.
Say.
He's an awful curser.
I gotta say. But no, yeah, you're definitely, you're a bulldog, not a grizzly. But, I mean, because your kids go, I mean, your kids are grizzlies. So, like, that's just, they're just born bred Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just born winners.
Yeah.
And that's nice for them. That's a good development for them.
Well.
Are you gonna buy, like, some Wadsworth, Wadsworth football T-shirts too,
well,
and such.
But I would get
Wadsworth State champions after they win this year.
A hoodie, and our buddy Jeremiah,
yeah,
used to work with us.
Uh-huh.
The other day, he saw me at this blue hoodie I'm going to wear tonight. He's like, "We got to get you some Grizzlies colors. Stop on down to the local store." And I'm like, "They do not have, XLT. Like that's it. I would buy one, but you're going to give me an X instead of an XLT, and then it's going to be a naval shirt, and nobody needs to see that."
I mean, they can get it made for you.
I don't think they could.
Jeremiah's got some time on his hands from what I hear. He can get it made for you.
Shots fired.
Pew, 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 pew. Seems like the guy's got some time to order an XLT. That's all.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic joined us today at 3:20, and he talked about the Dolphins game being a tipping point for the Browns season.
I've said all along, guys, the first 6 weeks were brutal. You knew it was an impossible start to the season. Everybody said it. Look at this is a murderer's row of opponents. They could be staring at 0-6. Well, they're not 0-6, but they're close to it. So nothing that's happened to this point should surprise you in terms of where they are with record. But now you're 100% right. There are winnable games in front of them now. So if they come out and they get blown off the field at home Sunday, this is going to be that tipping point of, oh boy, we've seen this before. This is going to get even worse than we thought. This is a game they should win. They're playing at home. They're playing a game against a team that's equally as dysfunctional as they are. If they get blown off the field as they did last year at Washington, this is going to get really, really dark really, really early, because they've got a lot of winnable games coming up.
This is as simple as this. If you want to stop the negativity, if you want to stop the Flacco conversation, if you want to stop the how unwatchable this thing is, if you want to, like, this is an incredibly winnable game. You are a favorite in this game.
But it doesn't stop it, though.
You're at home. No. It pauses it.
Okay, because, I mean, even the pause, depending how it looks, it might not even be 100% true, but...
I've heard style points. Why do style points matter when you're 1-5? Just win the damn game.
Well, you have to win, but if we're trying to stop the conversation, like that, and I think the point that Jason's trying to get to there is that idea that you have a lot of winnable games coming up, but you do still have to hit the 3-foot putt. You still do have to... You have to make your gimmies, and in this instance, like, one win against the Dolphins is not going to stop any of our conversations about what happens with this team long term. You can't do it in 1 week. Based off of how bad this has gone, 1 week will not satisfy nearly enough people. The same way when they beat the Packers, it didn't stop any conversations about what this could or could not be.
Stop might not be the right word, but it does delay some of the vitriol that happens. That's where we're at. Because you are right. Where you and I are going to agree 100% is, let me put it this way. If you have style points but you lose, it doesn't matter anywhere near as much as an ugly win on Sunday in a maelstrom of weather, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to win the game.
But I just think what it affords you is the ability to just bring the temperature down, bring the pressure down just a little bit. And then, by the way, you got to win the next one as well. Like, you are at a point where you got to knock a few pins down in a row to get where you want to go, or at least to get to the point where it's even again, and it's not every time something bad happens, everybody's hair's on fire. But this is as good of a chance, because if you can't win this game, I don't know when you're winning.
Well, that is where I do agree with Miles, though, in some of the comments he made today, and I'm paraphrasing, but the idea that one win isn't enough. Like, one win is not going to be good enough for this team to all of a sudden say, we got it all figured out, everything is now good. Hey, put that conversation that you guys are having about Stefanski and Barry, put it to rest. Like, no. This is the beginning of something. And you have to not only beat the Dolphins, but you have to beat all these teams that you're supposed to beat moving forward. And the sad part about that is there should come a spot. Here's how you know if they've done it right. If at some point I'm making the suggestion that they're taking themselves out of primo draft position, and you're hitting that what I would deem to be a disaster scenario where you end up with 6 wins and you're drafting like 13th overall, that's how you know they actually got this thing corrected in a little bit of a positive way.
216-474-0092. Is Sunday the tipping point one way or another for the Browns? Steve in a car wants to join in. Steve, welcome to the show, friend.
Happy F-Off Friday, Mr. Guarantee.
Right back at you, sir.
And that's where I'm coming from. I guarantee you a safety and a defensive touchdown. Now, can you guarantee an offensive passing touchdown?
Ooh. So basically, together, we'd be guaranteeing 16 points.
And therefore, for the second time this year, we would be guaranteeing a win, and we would be correct.
Wait.
Steve, can I?
You think 16 points guarantees a win, Steve?
Against this team with this weather, it does. Especially if the defense scores 9.
The Dolphins just scored 27 last week.
They just can't play defense, which is why we'll guarantee an offensive touchdown this week.
Steve, I don't care about guarantees anymore. I'm done with guarantees. Off with guarantees.
Because I'm good at them?
If you're not putting your nipples on the table, what are you really doing?
That's true.
If you're not putting a pierced nipple bet on the table, what are you really doing? Guarantees mean nothing to me. Anybody can say a guarantee. Put your nipples.
Sounds like JP wants to put them on the table, too.
Where your mouth is?
That's what I'm hearing, JP.
No. I don't make
so
nipple bets.
You called and said you're the guaranteer,
and you wanted to talk to Mr. Guarantee himself. Well, if you're Mr. Guarantee, guarantees mean nothing to me. I'm all about nipple bets.
We went off the rails somewhere here, guys.
So here's what happened. Steve's trying to get me into a guarantee, and I accept that guarantee, by the way. I will guarantee at least one offensive
with nothing on the table mean nothing to me at this point.
Offensive touchdown.
It's just words.
On Sunday that I'm always right about when I guarantee. I see you and I right there, Steve. Good stuff, buddy. Now to you.
Yes.
Why do I get on the nipple bet?
I don't want to, but if you guys are going to...
It seems like you want to get in on that.
Guarantees mean nothing to me at this point. That is just when we've elevated the way that we do this.
Well, then you sit there in the cuck chair while Steve and I win all these damn guarantees together.
Guarantees are boring to me. You got to actually do something with these guarantees. You got to put some real weight attached to these guarantees. Come up with your own version of a nipple bet if you want. I don't really care. But the idea that we just say guarantee, and that's supposed to be something in this day.
If you want a con-canipple
bet, coming off Pony last night,
you do it.
And how all the attention it got, and all the the people talking about it and discussing it. I'm bored with just regular guarantees. I need nipple bets, or don't even bother.
No, you can do the canipple bets, and I'll sit here doing normal bets and be right about
that.
There's
no bet. You're not betting on anything. You just said guarantee.
That too. Burger bets and guarantees, those are my thing. Knipple bets are yours.
No, they're Pony's thing.
Sounds like you want to make them your thing.
No. We established this. You guys are the guarantee people. I don't make guarantees.
Yeah,
I'm not making the guarantee. No. I'm asking you if you want to be part of an advanced version of a guarantee, because your guarantees are just...
Why not there?
Wasting time with your guarantees.
Why not do the hackneyed version of this where I can... I'll maybe make a guarantee that I'll eat horse crap if that doesn't work out.
Well, that's just dumb.
What other different dumb things that sports talk guys have done when they're desperate for attention? What other dumb things could I do?
Yeah, let's ratchet this up. Let's find out. Mac, any suggestions on what Nick can do?
I'm going to have the Yakuza take a digit off my hand.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. That's where we are.
You tell me you're serious about this game, taking a digit off your hand? Oh, boy.
And the answer is no, I'm not going to do that. Mac?
When are you chiming in with the tattoo bet?
Do you want to get a
dolphin tattooed on your ass?
No. I think
the bet's sitting there.
Nope.
The bet's sitting there.
Pumping the brakes there. Not going to say it.
I don't mean a Dan Marino.
No. I don't need attention that bad. That being said, I don't even know how this question, because there's no way you can say no, right? Or there's no way you can say anything other than absolutely. Whether a loss to the Dolphins is a disaster on Sunday, I will take a loss on Sunday to mean you're not in the business of being competitive anymore.
I'll take a loss on Sunday to mean the exact same thing. Like if you lose to the Dolphins, you have a chance to then lose to the Jets. You have a chance to lose to any Saints, any bad team that still remains on the schedule, which means I just can't take you seriously. For the rest of the season, I just can't take you seriously.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
And again, it's important.
Which stinks, because I want to take you serious.
Like, it's important. I just am asking for them to be competitive. Except in these kind of games. Except in the Dolphins.
Yeah, competitive's not good in this game.
Yeah, no. Exactly. It's great against the Packers. It might be good, by the way, against the Patriots, because they look good right now. Looking to the other games, the Ravens are going to have Lamar back by the time you face him again. Those are all games where it's like, all right, are you in at the end? Why are you losing if it happens? But these games, no. This is a simple yes or no. There's no context. There's no nuance. Style points don't give a damn about them. Come out with a win, and then we can at least have a fresh conversation on Monday, even if it's going to have some of the same, offshoots that we've already been having.
In fact, if they lose this game, then I think the conversation on Monday and Tuesday is, I think we're veering more towards, obviously we've done fire Stefanski all week long. I think it'll start to be closer to how many assets can we trade and what assets do get traded. That's where the next evolution of this convo is until week 9 happens and the trade deadline passes.
I don't think you can guarantee, and I mean, when I'm saying guarantee, I mean 100% rubber stamp,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I don't think we can guarantee anymore that Stefanski will have a job on Monday if he loses this game. It doesn't mean you can guarantee he'll lose his job, but I think that's another tributary of this. I think we are on Stefanski watch and maybe Barry watch if you start 1-6 in a game that you are a 2.5-point favorite at home and the weather seems to favor your style of play and not Miami's. There's just too much here. I would then, by the way, if we're putting it, what's the doom clock? I'm not putting it 2 minutes to midnight. It's probably closer to 11:10, right? But it starts to be on the table if you lose this game because the Dolphins are in the pit of despair and you will replace them there. Because then basically whoever wins this team gets the, we can breathe for a couple days.
Yeah, you just can't lose to this train wreck of a team that is the Dolphins right now. They're an absolute disaster.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, we are talking about this Dolphins game on Sunday and what it means for the state of the Browns. Is a loss to the Dolphins anything other than a disaster? And the latest on Mason Graham only adds fuel to the fire on the naysayers and the panickers. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Hey, let's see which guarantee he prefers for Sunday. I will say, Mason Graham showed up on the injury report today, and I'm not trying to be that guy because I know it happens in other towns. Just feels like our guys have been getting hurt a lot in practice, and it just feels disproportionate.
Well, remember last year, going into this season, they fired Joe Sheehan, who'd been here the entire time that Stefanski and Barry had been here, and they also laid off like 10 other people that would basically have what you would think would be the direct correlation to whether or not your team is healthy or not healthy. They've been very injured the previous few years, like to the point where I was surprised Joe Sheehan had his job as long as he had, as long as he did. But ultimately, I just think we have a lot of injured players. I don't know that I like. Are you suggesting that we put this on Stefanski? We put this on?
I don't know what to put it on. It's not a cause and effect.
We just have a lot of players that get injured a lot. Like DeJuan Jones constantly injured, Jack Conklin constantly injured. Like it's like, why does the offensive line always get banged up? It's like, well, we have a lot of guys that are made out of glass in the offensive line.
Yeah, but how can you prove that if DeJuan Jones wasn't hurt all the time at Ohio State, or like in the case of Mason Graham? I don't remember any big injuries. I thought durability was one of his kind of strong suits there.
No, that's a good point. Like, I don't remember DeJuan at Ohio State. He never got any injuries of any kind of anything. Nothing popped up ever.
I don't remember missing a game or like having like a serious injury, maybe.
Because with the Browns, he hasn't been able to finish a season ever.
That is fair. But we did get the update from Kevin Stefanski today on Mason Graham and his maybe availability going into the weekend.
Did something yesterday. We'll see how it responds really over the next 24 hours, 48. A knee injury.
Don't love it. Would really just, and now in fairness, the Browns have said, I don't want to say in fairness, to add to this, the Browns have kind of added that they don't think this is a long-term concern. But to go against that, I mean, Michael Hall has been on the active roster since the beginning of the season, and he's still not able to practice.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. Why does it feel like they have more injuries than not? At some point in between the break, I can look up where they are relative to the other parts of the league and where they are with injuries. But it does feel like year in, year out with Stefanski, it is a very injured football team.
Now, this being said, this did stoke some what I think is disappointment or dissatisfaction with Mason Graham and how his rookie season is going. And I mean, I can't make like the statistical case that he is either in the box score or in PFF, like he's ruining the world and he's a world eater and he's Thanos. But like, I don't think Mason Graham and his performance to this point this year is anywhere near my top of concerns for the Cleveland Browns.
No, but I do wonder if the Browns were winning games, I do wonder how much of it would become a focal point. When he's your fifth overall pick And we can point to other rookies on this team that are having better seasons than he's having. Like, I do wonder, you know, because we talked for how long about it. If you take Shador at number two, Shador's got it. At number two, you have to have a franchise quarterback. Like, we put the expectations there, and it feels like so far in the early part of Mason Graham's career, he's not showing up in the box score. He's not a PFF darling. And it seems like a lot of people are just kind of bypassing anything in regards to an expectation for someone that was the fifth overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thing is, like, it's year one, and he is making a shift. And I thought, I think it was it Jason or was it Joe?
No, it was Joe that brought up the change from the 3-4 to the 4-3.
And talking about the difference between space eating and attacking. I know that might sound like an excuse, but I guess I'm just giving it more time because I do think he's made a huge difference against the run. Like, I think if you watch Mason, that's as good against the run as you can be.
I mean, where I give him some slack is that you can definitely tell he's being double-teamed. And, like, I think part of the reason why Malik Collins is having the season that he's having is because of what they're doing and the attention they're putting on Mason Graham. And it's making Malik Collins, because people are running towards Malik Collins and he's taking care of business, but it's making him look better in the process. It's part of why I have a hard time with everyone making the suggestion about, like, you need such eye-popping numbers and stats, because you can make an impact on a football game and have it not show up in the stat sheet. And I feel like Mason Graham might be exhibit A of exactly that right there.
So we do have Jason Lloyd here, because we asked him about Mason, and people have used the word disappointment and mm-hmm. whether that's the right way to describe what Mason's been doing.
I've seen a lot of teams doubling him, which I don't recall. I'm not saying it hasn't happened before, because I didn't really study defensive tackles before, but it's been more noticeable to me this year that they're doubling Graham more than I've noticed defensive tackles being doubled in the past. I think he's going to be a good player for this team for the next decade. Like I said, I just felt like there was more pressing needs in the draft when they took him. He has not been a disappointment to me. I think he's been fine. I think he'll continue to be fine.
Yeah, I think we're doing the thing that you do when you lose, where because, okay, the football team stinks, let's put all our hope in these players, and if we can't say you're definitively a top 5 or a top 10 or a top 15 or a top 20, whatever, then we all of a sudden we kind of turn on you. Like Carson Schlesinger, better than anybody expected, immediate impact player.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. All right, Mason. All right, well, he's not Chris Jones. He's got to be or Vita Vea. Like, got to be a disappointment. It's like, no, I think he's a young player adapting to the NFL, and I still think he's. I hate the word disappointment. I absolutely hate that. I think the worst thing that we're ever going to say about this kid is he might end up being a fine football player and maybe not a game changer. I think maybe you need to watch the tape. Ooh. With football guy.
I think the worst thing we could say about him, and I think the conversation is going to start being, is what Jason was hinting at right there. It's not his fault he's not a left tackle, but ultimately, where you do have other positions of need, it's going to make you go back and wonder to yourself, should we have done a different selection? That's not Mason Graham's fault, but if you're not wrecking the game from that spot at number 5 overall, it does make you wonder, should we have taken an offensive lineman at that spot? Should we have taken something else that we need, that we desperately need on this team right now?
I think to call back to it, like, Will Campbell, I think, would have been the pick if Will was there at 5.
Yeah, those little tiny dinosaur arms of his, right?
But like Armon Membo, I don't think that's where you're going to go. Ashton Jeanty, Tet McMillan, Kelvin Bakes Jr.
I mean, Campbell was sitting there. I mean, that's the one that I think a lot of people would highlight.
Campbell,
he went fourth overall.
Pick.
Yeah, I know he went fourth overall, but like that would have been the one. Because again, too, yeah, and I think you have to put this in the right idea. Are we gonna put them for what they did at number 5, or are we gonna put them for what they did in trading out of 2, and then just saying because I feel like a lot of people say once you traded out of 2, basically 5 became some sort of bonus of sorts because you got the future first round pick for next year. You added the second that turned into Judkins. I want to know how everyone's thinking about it, because if it had just been 5 overall, or hell, let's even say it was number 2 overall, and you had ended up taking Travis Hunter. I mean, people right now we'd be talking about what a disappointment Travis Hunter is, but we're not doing that for Mason Graham, and I just think that's interesting.
216-474-0092. Is Mason Graham a disappointment to this point? I would disagree, but Josh in a car, are you disappointed that Mason Graham isn't where maybe some folks feel like he should be this early in his career?
Not at all. Mason Graham looks really good.
Would agree. What do you have on Stefanski, buddy?
PFF, by the way, disagrees, so you need to yell at him. Yell at them. Write them a strongly worded letter.
I'm really happy to be on with the Big Dipper, and I just want to warn you, Jonathan, you got to be careful with those nipple bets, buddy.
Hmm. Yep.
It can get out of control real fast.
Well, I'm not the guarantee guy.
You start one, and all of a sudden, you got 10 on the... It's like burger bets, but with nipples.
We only have two nipples, though.
Yeah. Well, I just want to...
You're not wrong.
Last night was mind-numbing to me. I was like, I had to stop watching the game. It just, like, a lot of bad memories, like, started coming back because it just seems with Kevin, you know... Well, I got a couple quick points about Kevin. I have a really sad thought that I just hope the Browns wake up to at the end. But, you know, with Baker, like, Baker's probably the best quarterback I've ever seen in my lifetime come to Cleveland. I know that's not saying much when he was here. But when he was under Hugh and then when, you know, Greg took over the team, the Kitchen's terrible year, Baker was balling out, looked great. When Kevin came, Baker had to play Kevin's offense. He looked neutered. He was never really able to do what he liked to do. And then it's just a mediocre sense. Like even Flacco, except for that, the back end, we were playing really weak teams and they looked really good. Everybody has to play Kevin's system, even Watson, which I don't think Watson's great. I never wanted him here to begin with, but you could even say that with Watson now, with Flacco only having 3 days with the Bengals. Like Kevin just, he doesn't do anything that benefits any players. Like if you have an advantage, if you went to go play for the Browns, you have all these attributes that make you great. It doesn't matter. If those attributes don't fit into Kevin's system, you can't use them. You have to do it his way. I just think it's just really damning. And I'm just ready for him to get out of here. That's, you know, talk about disappointment. That's a huge time waste and disappointment having Kevin Stefanski here.
John. And, oh, go ahead, buddy.
Can I have my conclusion real quick there?
Yes.
I think, like, the really sad part about it is, like, I hear you mention it and Ken, and I really appreciate it because, like, I kind of, like, emulate with you guys. Like, you know, we're losing these lost generations of Browns fans. Like, you know, my kids want to watch other teams because the Browns are so boring and the offense is just stupid. And here we are, like, I you know, I hear from my family, I hear from friends all the time, like, they're Browns fans. They don't even want to watch Browns games. People rather watch Baker Mayfield play for the Tampa Buccaneers, and now people want to watch Joe Flacco with the Bengals. Why? Because we like these guys, especially Baker. We drafted him. We got to watch him do so many different things, and then Andrew Berry does dumb stuff to get a terrible situation in here, and now we're forced to watch it. I don't blame. I used to argue with people. I'm that kind of Browns fan. Like I do give people a hard time. Like, oh no, you shouldn't be doing that. Blah 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 blah. I don't do that anymore. Somebody says, hey, man, I'm watching the Bucs this Sunday. I'm like, hey, man, do what you got to do. I can't blame them. It actually stresses me out to watch the Browns now. And that's, I've never been like that. I don't even want to watch the Browns because I just get so irritated. And then, like, after last night, it's just kind of like, I know, you know, you want to make a quick decision, but how the hell are these guys still here? Like, Andrew Berry, yeah, he drafted good this year. The guy can't, like, Ken and Anthony are talking about this morning, we got big decisions coming up with quarterbacks. Do you really want Andrew Berry picking your quarterback? I mean, that is just – that's a nightmare. That's like the stuff of nightmares right there.
Josh, so, we got a boogie buddy, but we appreciate you, and we certainly empathize with a lot of what you shared there. 216-474-0092. Are you using the D word? For Mason Graham, we'll ask Daryl Ryder that coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.